their different exercises and delights. I have appreciated the lessons in the morning on a bit about camp and nature. It's been a real encouragement to me. I like that because to me it kind of adds a little bit of the rounded out feeling of camping. And somebody said that this is about as far as they wanted to go as far as the camping experience. And I might venture a little further, but not too much. I kind of like having the facility close by. And I love being in a place where if I don't know people real well, I've got a good reason to know them anyway. And it's certainly been a great time for me. Each of us come with different situations and needs in our lives, and we are able to say at the end of a week that we can look to the Lord and thank Him for His faithfulness to deal with us and encourage us and minister to us. I also feel blessed this week. You guys have blessed me, each one of you. The music, the cooking, the sharing, the fellowship, just watching some of your kids has been a treat because I've been learning about my grandkids as I see your children and anticipating those years when they move beyond the stage and the so I'm looking forward to those stages where I can enjoy them as young children. like to conclude this evening with some thoughts about being effective in our places of fellowship with one another and with perhaps opening our doors to the lost a little bit. I have deeply appreciated our brother's exercise in the morning in evangelism, and sometimes when you're around other preachers, they stir you up in a good way to think about things. And this was something I wasn't quite sure the Lord wanted me to bring tonight, so I'm stepping out more on faith tonight, perhaps, than I have all week long. So bear with me. I'd like to just discuss this evening the blessing of hospitality and how much it touches our lives and how much we need it. And this will by no means be an exhaustive treatment on the subject this evening. I can only touch the surface. I know that. But if I could just get your attention and touch your heart with God's Word and bless you with realizing this is a great blessing. It blesses your heart and it blesses the hearts of those that you come into contact with. I hope it will serve that purpose to encourage you. If you do have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. And just for the benefit of understanding the value of serving each other and a reminder to us of how powerful our serving and caring and giving as fellow believers in Christ and even to those who do not know Jesus Christ, what a tool in God's hand to be a great blessing. And I just want to begin our reading in Matthew 25, verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, and again, this is that time in which the Lord Jesus is, I believe, preparing to set up his millennial kingdom. And there's a sense in which he is clearing out things that will have to be cleared out in that time and establishing and commending those that are going to enter into the millennial period with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe this is the setting. Verse 34 says, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' And then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Father, thank you for the power of your word, and we look to you now for blessing as we consider this before us tonight in our Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Literally, the best biblical definition that I could find would be that to be hospitable or to give hospitality is to entertain strangers. Now, we know that word goes a little bit further because we're admonished in 1 Peter that we should entertain each other with hospitality and without grumbling. So we know that it goes beyond entertaining strangers in the sense of it can't mean that to the body of Christ or even the people you know. So we have to say that the word hospitality goes a lot further than just to entertain strangers or to host strangers. But I think it's a good start in the sense that it gives us all a blessing to be alert to looking to people that we don't know and learning to grow at reaching them. And one of the things that we want to look at tonight is the different ways in which we can operate in hospitality. I'm just sharing with you, my idea of hospitality is a meal and have somebody over. That's hospitality. If you were to ask me in my simple mind, what is a good definition of hospitality? Cook a meal, have somebody over. And I think that would probably fit with a good sense of the general definition of being hospitable. But it really does go further. And I'd just like to explore how far, to some degree, it goes. You qualify that to some degree. We're not going to go all the way of what it is because we don't have time. I have found this definition, and it really helped me a lot in thinking about being hospitable. And that definition is this: one who has a liberal and generous disposition towards others. One who has a liberal and generous disposition toward others. I am not an advocate of the mutual admiration society where you go around and you just pat each other on the back for the purpose of patting each other on the back and saying, we're in this something together. And but what I am an advocate of is the careful but godly balanced care that the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to give one another in the body. And that'll take on a lot of different spheres. It'll take on a lot of different faces. It'll take on a lot of different actions. It'll include probably things that we hadn't really thought about before. But these are some of the components that God will use to allow us to express hospitality one to another. If I were a young person and I were asking the Lord to help me in the area of being more hospitable, perhaps, not necessarily, but perhaps I would learn to focus on those that maybe do not get as much attention as others, who seem to be the aardvarky ones, the ones that are a little, at least in the click, quote unquote, social view of the group. And I don't always appreciate the social view of the group because sometimes the social view of the group can be rather vicious and harsh. But this concept of being liberal and generous in disposition carries with it the desire to meet people where they are and to the best of your ability, that God is not asking you to smile when somebody's spitting in your face and slapping you and saying, "Oh, I like that. Give me more." But he is asking that we learn to follow the character of the Lord Jesus Christ and move towards people with a sense of genuineness that he alone can give us. And he gives us that. That's one of the beautiful things about it. Sometimes I worry a little bit, I'm sure as you do. I've heard so much. How can I do it all? There's so much to think about. Just rest in the provision that Philippians 4:13 provides. And that provision is this: I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And take it in bite-sized steps. He'll give you the resource. He's ready to give you the resource. He promises the resource to give us the ability that we need to carry out what we've been encouraged to consider. So, and each of us will, in the way that God has built us and according to His Word, He'll touch our lives in ways that others of us can't duplicate. I see certain individuals, and they can walk into a room, and it's like they've never met a stranger in their entire life, and they're just talking 100 miles a minute. They just seem to converse very fluid and very effortlessly with everybody in the room. Some go into a room and they're cordial and can say something, but they're not real talkative. They don't have the real skills or real abilities to say a lot. Just because somebody's quiet doesn't necessarily mean they're not hospitable. We have to realize that God uses all of us in our diversities, all of us in our unique individuality, and He allows us to move out and touch different people's lives according to the way that He's constructed us and the way that He's enabled us as believers to do so. So I want to encourage tonight, as you think about the subject of being hospitable, try not to say, "That's hospitality and I got to do just that." Just say, "I want to be liberal and generous in disposition to those that God has called me to be around. I want to be open to being an entertainer, not an entertainer of da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, but you understand what I'm saying. That was just a little, hello." Not like tonight. I didn't feel we were being entertained. I felt we were being blessed. And there is a certain sense in which it's fun to watch the musicians play their instruments and enjoy watching the different ones as they bring us and bless us with the things that they've been blessed with. But when we speak about entertaining, I want you to know that it's the idea of hosting. It's the idea of seeing yourself in your disposition towards other people as a host, like the Lord Jesus was. He had that heart. When He was with people, people didn't feel like He was disingenuous. In other words, He was just tolerating their presence. People knew that He had a care for them. And I think that's probably one of the aspects of showing biblical hospitality, is that genuineness is conveyed. Not a false sense of, "I've got to try to gain you as a valuable something or another in my life," but that you care for their well-being. And the Lord Jesus gives us an ability as we grow and as we understand these things. He comes along and He opens a little door in our growth spiritually, and He says, "You know, I want to bless you by learning to give." And you'll find, especially you dear young folks, you'll find more and more in life, the older you get, it really is more blessed to give than it is to receive. By the way, that is a quote. And I almost want to ask, where does that quote of Christ come from? You'll never find it in the Gospels. I'll tell you that. That's a clue. Now, that's something to kind of think about. If you got it, it's Acts. Yeah, right. To me, that was a recent discovery, and I've often used that little quote, and I thought, yeah, that's true. But I've looked at the Gospels. I've never read that in the Gospels. It's not there. It's a quote from the book of Acts, and it was something that was communicated for our benefit by somebody else. So the reality is that God pours out to us more as we learn to give than we get in receiving. Not wrong to get. It's not wrong to learn to receive graciously and to be blessed. But the Lord Jesus is saying, in the sense of being a giver and learning to give of yourself to other people, you're more blessed in the process of giving to people. So give of your friendship. Give of your heart to other people. And let the Holy Spirit just turn that into a wonderful reality that this is part of the real and specific and needed work in the local body of Christ. It really is. And I just want to say, I want to encourage the young ones to the gray hairs and the no hairs, of which I'm rapidly joining. I'll be in that club here quicker than I realize. A nice little clearing here for a helicopter pad on the top of my head. And these are the things that each of us have opportunities to contribute to the whole process of the body. So I want to just say that as we think about it tonight, look at it as a real opportunity. It really is. Let me just say that there are some things I want to pass on to you in the area of just little things. When we first got to Little Rock, I'll just have to share with you our subjective experiences, and please bear with me in that. We first got to Little Rock, one of the obvious things that we felt we could do in our neighborhood was to do everything we could to reach out. We were in a pretty difficult neighborhood. We didn't realize it at the time, but we were in a pretty difficult neighborhood. But it was one of those neighborhoods when you come home at night, you've got your garage door opener, and, you know, about three houses down before you get to the house, you hit the remote, and the door goes,
okay, Taylor, to go in. Please make your entrance into the garage quickly.
All right, and so they all slide in real quick, and then, and everybody goes, whew, we're in. Didn't have to talk to anybody in the neighborhood. Well, and that may be exaggerating, but it almost seems in some neighborhoods that people, and this was one of those neighborhoods, that people didn't want to associate with people. It's just, they wanted to hit their remotes, get in, get out, and be gone. In fact, you didn't want to be out in the front yard when somebody next to you was out in the front yard. That I got that feeling because I never noticed anybody out at the same time. But I thought, well, maybe it's a good idea just to try to go out in the front yard. And I know my next door neighbor, he saw when I came out in the front yard and he made a beeline for the house. Every time. Well, I guess if you saw Heller out in the front yard, you'd make a beeline for your house. But anyway, I thought, wow, you know, I just want to be friends with this guy. And so I waited a couple times. And, you know, you don't want to ambush your neighbors. You don't want to be so obvious that you're trying to be friendly towards them. And so I waited and just let the Lord work that out. And I didn't really try to push the thing too hard. Anyway, long and short of it is that one day he was out there, and he usually always had a cigarette in his hand, a can of beer in the other. And so I thought, well, you know, I'll just catch him when I can catch him. And so I caught him one day, and I wasn't trying to. I just was kind of, ooh, dee dee da da da. I was out fiddling with some things, and he was outside, and he didn't see me, and I went, ah, my chance. And I went over, and the minute I said, hey, Brad, you know, the cigarette and the beer can went right behind his back. And I went over to Brad, and I said, hey, Brad, how you doing, buddy? Oh, pretty good. You know, and I think he was a little tipsy. He was telling me like it was. Oh, pretty good. And I did everything I could to set him at ease, and finally, I just looked at Brad and I said, Brad, I said, man, I know you got something behind your back. I'm still your neighbor. It's okay, man. Oh, you mean this isn't going to offend you? I said, hey, listen, I'm not here to condemn. I just want to be a neighbor. I said, it's okay. I almost wanted to say, okay, Brad, I know what you're hiding behind your back. But it was too funny and I didn't want to make him feel uncomfortable. And so finally he dropped his guard a little bit. And the more I was outside, the more he began to go outside. And it took about 4 or 5 months for that ice to melt a little bit. And one day, and I'd always say hi to him, and he was in a situation where he'd had really a disastrous relationship before this, and just a lot of things, and he thought I was just gonna come down on him. I learned this later. Anyway, so I was out, and it was January, and I was washing the car in my driveway. I understand you can't do that all the time in Minnesota here, but you can in Arkansas. And quite frequently in shorts. I mean, it's that warm. And sometimes it gets up into the mid-60s consistently in Arkansas, where I live in that time of the year. And I was out washing my car, and Brad was over on the other side. He was kind of fiddling outside with his car, and then he yelled across the yard, and he said, "John!" I said, "Yeah, Brad. Has the rapture occurred?" And I'm floored. You know, I mean, man, what an opportunity. And I said, "Wow, Brad, if it has, I'm in big trouble." I think, I don't know, I mean, I know I belong to the Lord. And he said, "Yeah, I want to talk to you about that sometime." Wow. You know, and I just realized that people, whether they are unbelievers or believers alike, when they know that you are moving in a generous disposition towards them, it gets their attention. And the Lord Jesus did that. He moved towards people in genuineness. He wasn't what he wasn't supposed to be. He was who he was. I think I love that more the older I get. I mean, he knew he was the Son of God. If there was anyone who knew he could have issues in dealing with people, it was the Lord. And he didn't try to be something that he shouldn't have been. He was who he is. And he moved out as he was and as he is. Now, he is higher than any one of us. But the beauty of it is he left us a trail to follow, and that's to follow people who have needs. And I think this is one component of being hospitable. This is a component of being hospitable. It's not feeling like I've got to bite the whole thing off in one chunk and be done with it. It is a concept of understanding this is a disposition that I have been called to by God. And I want to look at that just a little bit with you tonight. We sometimes think it's solely the job of the local leadership to provide in the area of hospitality. And it is, but not solely. We read in 1 Timothy 3:2 that elders are ones that must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, and there it is, hospitable. But we find that it doesn't stop with just those in local leadership. We find that all who know Christ are called to be hospitable. All of us. Now, somebody says, "Well, I don't have the gift of hospitality, so therefore, that's just not an area that I should not worry about." You know, you talk about a gift. A gift is simply an example whereby others can be encouraged to go ahead and do the things that God has called all of us to do. Becoming more and more convinced that is one of the great benefits of the gifts. Is so that we might be encouraged as we see, and we can pick up according to the things that God puts in front of us an opportunity to see the Lord work in our lives and be encouraged. I don't particularly feel that in my general sense I am quote-unquote certain things, but I realize that if those people have those kinds of abilities that are stronger than mine, I want to learn from them. I don't want to try to duplicate it in a false sense. I want to learn. I want to say, "Lord, teach me. Help me to see a little something there I can get a hold of." So this is one of the things I think is greatly misunderstood. We read in 1 Peter 4:9. I'd just like to quote it for you. It says, "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." Now, sometimes, you know, we're all made of the same stuff, and sometimes we grumble. Come on, we just have to be honest. We grumble. We talk like we've got rocks in our mouth. We grumble sometimes. And the Lord understood that. And what he is encouraging us to is to focus on the aspect of being generous in disposition towards others. That is the goal. We know that it's a lifelong process, and there will be advances, and then there's going to be setbacks. Don't lose heart. Just keep pressing forward. Keep the mark before you that we have been called to in the body. All of us are called to be hospitable. All of us. Some of the other areas that I have learned, this is just me. I could only share with the things that I feel are mine. And maybe somebody else will come along and share something with you down the road, and you'll say, "Ding dong, boom. The lights come on. I like that. I can do this." But here's several things that we've learned to do. We love to open our home and just let people come in, and I love to barbecue. I really do. I like it. I love to eat it. I like to try to perfect it. And you have to be careful. What was it? It was one of those shows, the Jane Austen series, you know, where all the women are around and they're talking, and this poor lady, she stands out because she feels she's the special one of attention, but she's trying to downplay it. And so she always says, "Well, my friends say I make the best chiffon delicious pie." I didn't speak to you in tongues. I just gave you a name of a pie that's just, I don't know what it means, but you know, some fancy creation. And so all of her friends would roll their eyes. Oh, there she goes again. "My friends say I make the best barbecued ribs." I don't think they're the best. And one day I had somebody eat them and said, "Oh, these are terrible." So I said, "Okay, well, I need to go back and go to work on it." And sometimes part of being hospitable is taking words that are, maybe they were trying to be helpful, or maybe they weren't. You have to learn to let those words just roll on by. You can't take the arrow and say, "Boom," and wiggle it around. Just if there's an element of truth, take the truth and let the truth speak to you and help you, and then just say, "You know, I need to deflect and go on." That's part of being hospitable. Is learning not to let sometimes people just say things and they don't mean to be as harsh or hard as they are. And sometimes people are hard and they mean it. You have to learn to just navigate. Just part of it. And there may come a time when you need to deal with it. But for the most part, we want to learn to be generous in disposition towards others. I think that has been the goal that the Lord Jesus has called us to in the body. Now, there is an example of this in 1 Timothy 5:10, when it's speaking about bringing widows into certain care, in other words, financial care, the church actually giving financial care to a woman over a certain age who has shown herself faithful, and the meeting supports that woman, then they're brought in and asked to be taken care of. But notice the things that are hallmarks of this woman's life. 1 Timothy 5:10, and I'm just going to kind of jump into the verse here. It says, "Well reported for good works if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, and if she has diligently followed every good work." Look at those five things. Man, you know, you just look at that, and it's a blessing to see it. It's a blessing to see it, isn't it? Number one, first known for good works. They're hospitable. They've lodged strangers. They refreshed the saints' feet.
Oh, refreshed them.
I guess washing their feet, refreshing them to some degree in the hot, dry deserts of wherever this was being given in the Middle East. But they washed their feet. They relieved the afflicted, and they raised their children. So you see the capacity and the dimension of being hospitable. It's not just solely having somebody over. It's really going a lot further than that and communicating and plugging in on a little bit more of an involved basis. So we see that all of us are to be part of it. I'd like to go one more step further, and then I'm going to wrap this up. Romans 12:13 tells us that we are to distribute to the needs of the saints, and we are to be given to hospitality, given to it. It's the same word, I think, that's used over in 1 Timothy 3:3 when it talks about the qualifications of an elder, saying they should not be given to wine. And the given there is the idea that they're addicted to wine. So the same word that's used there is used here, and it literally could mean addicted to hospitality. That's a pretty strong term. That almost has the connotation of kind of out of control, and you know, man, they're enslaved and in bondage. But I really think the sweeter meaning is that it becomes something we're very attached to. We're very near it. We're very close to being hospitable people. One of the things that I have learned personally that has been a great help to me is you really can't be hospitable if you don't budget time for God's people or for lost people. You have to budget the time. I think that's the hardest challenge for me. You have to say, God, open up something in my life to where I've got a little bit of time I can create to start moving with a serious sense of being focused into somebody's life for good. I mean, for their benefit. You guys, not all of us can do this, and I realize I'm in a special position. After I'm done with my Monday morning game of golf, and my Tuesday morning workout at the Hawaiian club, where I'm just pampered and everything else, and I've gone and had all my nails manicured as a man would have them. You know, they can do that and not be having those issues, and you know, and being pampered and olives plopped into my mouth and being treated like a king. I occasionally do a few things as a full-time worker. I do other things. One of the privileges that I have is that sometimes I can carve into my schedule times to go and spend with fellow believers in the body, especially on their jobs. And I love it. Not everybody can do that. Not everybody's wired to do that. So I want to be careful not to say, this is something you have to do. I just hope it produces some thinking juices in your mind. Oh, okay, so how can I be involved with somebody on a little bit more of a closer basis? And so I'll just say to some of the guys in the meeting that I know are self-employed and are out on a job somewhere, I'll say to them, hey, can I come and swing a hammer one day with you, or paint a brush, or dig a ditch, or do whatever, sweep a floor, or put tile down or something like that. And it's just been one of the most rewarding experiences, because I get to spend time with these guys that I would not normally be able to do. And it's just created opportunities to open up and talk. And I found, generally speaking, people enjoy being able to feel a sense of belonging enough to be able to open up. Not everybody is the same, but a lot of people are. And some people need that type of care. And you, dear fellow believers in the body of Christ, each of you has a dimension has a uniqueness and a difference, and you may not know what it is right now. Don't worry about that. Don't get all,
oh, he said, I don't know. No, I'm...
Just wait on the Lord and let him reveal it to you in time, but be open to looking and saying, how can God use me to be close without being too close, getting too tied up and too... And I want to be careful there in that sense, but you want to be healthy close in the sense that you're able to provide encouragement, you're able to be a help, and then when it's time, you're able to come home and take care of the needs of your loved ones. It's a challenge, I know that. And not all of us, I mean, sometimes we think about this, sometimes I think, okay, man, if I'm not doing this 24/7, I'm a mess. Just ask God, God, give me a chunk. Give me something right from you that I can do, that I could enjoy, and help me to plug it into the lives of either people that don't know Jesus Christ or fellow believers in the local meeting. I believe this is some of the encouragement. Not totally. I feel this is some of the encouragement that this term, being hospitable to one another. Sometimes you think of this term, being hospitable to one another, is like, yeah, when you go down to the meeting, you know, everybody's in their little corner, and you know, and, okay, now let's be hospitable to fellow believers. No. Sometimes you might think that, but this is not the heart cry of God. He's asking us for whatever capacities that we are able to give in being generous in disposition to other people that we give it. Each of us will be different. I know people that other people look at them and they look like they've got spikes on their clothes and pricky stickers, and you can't get close to them. And whenever they say something, ow, you know, and they say, oh, they're mean, harsh people. Oftentimes, they are not as harsh as they seem. Some says, oh, yeah, you haven't been around so-and-so and so on and so forth. Most people are not that way at all. Even those that seem to be gruff or direct or straightforward. I've often found when you take the time to get to know them, they're beautiful people. They're wonderful people. They have so many great things to offer. And we want to learn to give, even to the sense where we're able to say, Lord, I want to look at this as a valuable ministry. In closing, I'd like to just say that one of the things that we want to do ultimately as fellow believers, one way or the other, is we want to promote Christ. We really do. We want to promote Christ to one another. I mean, that's okay to do it with your unique individuality and the special skills that you have. But our ultimate goal will be to promote Jesus Christ. Because those that do bless others the most. And whenever you're able to model Christ in such a way to other people, you really bless somebody's life. I'd like to close with just a couple of comments that meant a lot to Paul. I'm just going to read them to you, and if you're interested in where they are, come see me afterwards. I'll be happy to tell you. Okay. Maybe I should go ahead and tell you, if you want to look at them. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 16. I want you to think with me what this meant to Paul as he's communicating these things. What touched Paul? What made him write this? The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me. You see how much that meant to Paul? And it's in the Scripture.
And that's a little bit of a shadow of Christ, because we really are refreshed when we're with Him and we understand Him and we're blessed by Him. Read on, if you will, with me. He was not ashamed of my chain. And when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously. Don't you like it when you have a friend that tried to find you and they couldn't find you and they just really made it a mission to locate you? You're saying, well, it depends on what kind of friend they were. But if it's somebody you really wanted to see, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? It means a lot to me when somebody made an effort to go out of their way and cost themselves a lot of extra effort to find me. I realize this means something. I don't want to return that kind of effort and say, oh, yeah, 2 minutes and then I got to go. Your heart becomes endeared in a healthy way when you see that kind of commitment. And these things were associated and tied together in their fellowship in serving the Lord. And we are all tied together serving Christ if we know Him, even in the local fellowship. We really are. And then quickly, Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. Verse 1 reads, "And I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church." You know, I'm not good at pronouncing words. I want to say Synecria or... But it's funny, you know, some of the other names that are really hard to pronounce, I seem to get those okay. I don't know why I have a hard time with this one, so you pronounce it right in your mind. I'll work on this a little bit more. I'm just having a brain moment here where it's just the right pronunciation is just, it's not there. It's not, the hard drive is not booting it up, okay? So bear with me. "That you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and a sister," notice this, "in whatever business she has need of you." What does that tell you about Paul's commendation of this sister? What does that tell you about his thoughts about this woman? His thoughts are, I know her so well that whatever she asks will be right. It'll be for good. Give it to her. What a badge of trust. I wonder if she ever got to read this or hear that that's what Paul thought of her. Yeah. Verse 3 says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus." Notice this next one, "who risked their own necks for my life." I don't know about you, but I'm getting the feeling that these folks were serious about this thing. Real serious. And I realize they were in unique circumstances. I understand that. And we're not trying to reduplicate the exact same environment that they were in those days, but look at the blessing that God's called us to in the body as we learn to be hospitable to one another and serve and give. We build. There's a camaraderie and there's a sameness in the work God's called us to do in a ministry that is so valuable, so, so needed. And then finally, I'll just read these and you can comment in your spirit as the Lord gives you thoughts. Verse 5, "Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stichius, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my countrymen, greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have also labored in the Lord. Greet beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord.
And I think every time you see that word labor, I believe it would be effective and safe to say, to some sense, it was an obvious sense of their giving. And not only to the lost, but to the fellow believers serving the lost with the gospel. This doesn't come overnight. Those of you who have been around a while and understand that growth is a ongoing process, you know, I don't get all this overnight. But do let God have something of what He has communicated to you of the whole week. I know God has definitely, I mean, all of the ministry that I believe God wanted me to get, I got this week. But there's one thing God really nailed me with this week. And I'm still thinking about it. And I know many of you are, but if you haven't thought about it, don't exit the camp without saying, God, I need a hook so I can hang the thoughts that you've given me this week on and continue to think about it. And just say, Lord, you bless your name to working this out in my life. I'm not going to fret and stress over it. You promised all the power I need. I just want to let you do it. Ask Him to do it. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Let's pray. Father, we know that we didn't even come close tonight, and there's so many other areas, but feel that this is where we should conclude. And thank you so much for giving us the time with fellow believers this week that you have. I agree with the comments that have been made in prayer about all of the activities and things that you've blessed us with here at camp this week. It's been so good to meet new friends in Christ. It's been good, Father, for us to see each other. I always sense that at the close of a week, there's the possibility for the development of a larger family spirit and a little bit of camaraderie, and I think we've all sensed that here this week. And Father, give us refreshing encouragement to go back to the places that we've come from. Thank you for reminding us this week that you sure love us more than we can take in. And you are not going to quit working because it's your honor and your glory and your great love for us. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.